بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعيذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Continuing with the narration we began last week, with a few of what is known as the major signs, which is famous amongst the Muhaddiseen, the three which are such that to really pinpoint what it referred to is going to be very difficult. And perhaps at the end only will person be able to say this meant this. Fitnatul Ahlas, and then Fitnatul Sarra, and then Fitnatul Duhayma. But different scholars, some said just leave it as it is. And others looked at it, and they gave different interpretations. And Allah Tabarakatala has made that the word of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was mentioned in such a manner that it made a certain indication, and it left it still mubham, that the reality, the yaqeen of that matter will be known at the ending. But a person of knowledge is allowed to look at it and try to say that this perhaps refers to this. So the word perhaps is very important. So one possibility we mentioned about, where Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about, first will be Fitnatul Ahlas. And when they asked what is that Ahlas, which we explain the meaning of hils was that the saddle mat, and how dirty or how stuck it is, meaning it will be a fitna that it's not going to leave you. When it will start, it will hold. So we explain one possibility of that there was the entering of the Yahud and the Nasara back into the lands of Jaziratul Arab. And they never left after that. They got stuck. Dirt, but they got stuck. And they entered when this what was known as دَخَنُهَا تَحْتَ قَدَمَي رَجُلٍ مِنِّي يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ مِنِّي وَلَيْسَ مِنِّي إِنَّمَا أَوْلِيَاءُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. So that's one possibility. Others have given different explanations or different possibilities, but we explained one. And then we explained ثُمَّ فِتْنَةُ السَّرَّى. He said, some said سَرَّى means from that خُشِي, good times. And others have explained from Sirriyun that the time will then come where there will be a lot of spying, because now the enemy are in the lands, so everything is known. And the era of technology, as it goes higher, spying becomes easier. That in your own houses, in your own bathrooms, everything can be heard, everything can be seen. You can be carrying a phone which you think it's your phone, it's somebody else's phone. Whatever you're trying to do, everything is being gathered. And then when the internet came, that was like the biggest. Whatever you thought is your private matters, it's never ever private. Something is being saved, and when it needs to be known or used against you, everything is collected. So a unique era of Sarra. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then in between he mentioned, so we spoke about the Iraqi war. Fitnatul Ahlas, harabun wa harabun. And then it will be Fitnatul Sarra. And he said, فَيَصْطَلِحُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ. He said, in between now, between this and what is known as the third fitna, which is called Duhayma. In between he mentioned, فَيَصْطَلِحُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ كَوَرِكٍ عَلَىٰ ضِلَعٍ. The wording of it, the translation is, then the people, or ثُمَّ يَصْطَلِحُ النَّاسِ, then the people will all gather, meaning happily they will all accept. All will accept, everyone. And when you got النَّاسُ, most likely it refers to all, Muslim, non-Muslim. Or it could be referring to the Muslims. They will gather عَلَىٰ رَجُلْ, on one man. So if it was referring to the time when the Khilafat came to an end and the Ottoman Empire came to an end, after the coming down of the Ottoman Empire, the Muslim Ummah never ever looked towards one individual. everyone. And they felt like he's the hope of the Ummah now. But this narration shows there will be one time when they will look. يَصْطَلِحُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ كَوَرِكٍ عَلَىٰ ضِلَعٍ. But this individual they will look at, his nature or his condition will be such. This is a mathal, meaning it's a proverb in Arabic. Warik. Warik refers to the hip. So the hip normally lies on the legs, because the legs stand up straight and then you have the hip that holds. And the rib cage, it rests on the hip. So the hip keeps this up. Now you do the opposite. The opposite means we want to see that the rib is lying on the hip is lying on the rib cage. So the rib cage becomes the asal, the support. A rib cage can never be a support. It's like the man is upside down. So proverb, they say, it refers to in Arabic something that got no sabat. Something that looks strong but there's no strength under it. Every time it tries to settle in one place, it falls over. Had it been the rub on the hip, that is remaining for years until the legs start giving up. But the other way around, he will be like the hip on the rub. He will be like the hip on the rub. So it's not going to last. Meaning that responsibility is too heavy. So the rub cage will definitely move and the whole thing will fall one way. It will fall the other way. No sabat. Different ulama would find different individuals. Some even wrote perhaps Muhammad Mursi was the one, rahimahullah, that they felt like he will change the condition. And then within 2 years, everything was like toppled over. No sabat. And others gave other. My inclination in this one, and some other scholars also have inclined, and others might disagree. But there was one individual who after what is called the Gulf War, and then that era which we call many countries came up. One individual there was who was unique, that he was the focus of a good couple of years in the Muslim and non-Muslim world. And not in one country or two countries, but he was an international figure, meaning around the world. Hardly you get figures like this. That one man and everyone knew him, Muslim and non-Muslim. So his name at that time, they used to call him the Lion. So the Bin Laden family was a very famous family. How you have the Saud family, the Bin Laden family, that's why for many years at that time, who was in charge of the Haram? It was the Bin Laden group. Ever you walked, you would just see the workers all got Bin Laden, Bin Laden. They were in charge of looking after the Haram, cleaning the Haram. They were in charge of all the building in the Haram. Whichever building was taking place, it was one company doing all the building. Their relationship with the Saudi family were very strong. The Bin Laden family. And the Bin Laden family's relationship with America was very strong. So at the time when America wanted to break Russia's power, they invested a lot of wealth into what we call today Afghanistan. But at that time, it wasn't like how we know today Afghanistan. At that time, it was just like one country which Russia is going to roll over. A lot of money was invested. Like they brought Afghanistan, as though they brought Russia to go there, and then they started flooding the fighters of Afghanistan with weapons. And because of that, like they trapped Russia. In sending the weapons, they used the Bin Laden family. And one person who they used particular was this Osama Bin Laden. Rahimahullah. So at that time he was known as a CIA agent. And it was no like secret. So he was their man. And at the same time he was the man of the Mujahideen of Afghanistan, because he was the in-between. Having an Arab there, it allowed a lot of Arabs from Arabia and other countries also to get involved in the war. So he was like that one man who everyone united on. The Arabs loved him. America loved him. Where America ever loves. The Mujahideen of Afghanistan loved him. And because of that day, he became a loved figure for everyone. Like, he was the Sher of Islam, even if people knew nothing about Muslim leaders. He was not a leader, but he was like the boss. So much of strength. Everyone for him. Ex-
except Russia. Everyone. And then everything which was his, like, just collapsed. America, meaning Saudi, was asking America for help in the Gulf War. So at that time he was opposing it, and he said to the Saudi government, I got my own fighters. I don't find any need for bringing them in. We will look after this area of Kuwait. We will defend. And then the Saudi government was not happy. Whatever happened, their politics. But suddenly, the relationship between his family and the Saud family fell to the ground. Where before this, at every meeting they would be together. It fell as though we don't know you at all. For years later, they still continued in the Haram building. But the relationship between whoever gave support to him. So if his brothers wanted to continue in Saudi, they had to show we got nothing to do with him. He had to leave immediately. His mother had to say to him that, just go, and she had phoned another country. He reached another country, who was so close also. They had to finally tell the mother, we can't guarantee you protection. He had to leave that country. Who was after him? Saudi was after him. And who was after him? America was after him. The very man who, they were all for him. يَسْتَلِحُ النَّاسِ Everyone will join on a man who will have no thabat. That when it will collapse, everything was after him. So America turned against him. And then Saudi turned against him. And then somehow, we don't even understand how he landed in Afghanistan, but somehow he landed there. That will be a history or mystery of tariq. That how did he land in Afghanistan? And then he was put in jail there. And then he was set free there. And then was what was known as the bombing of 9/11. And then he, one man, was made the excuse of an entire war of terror. One man. Whereas they had such military ability that if you're scared of one man, they just have to send their couple of agents quietly into a country, find the man, one bullet or one drone, and go back home and say, mission accomplished. So they were not after this one man at all. But this one man became the one purpose for what is called a war on terror. And everything they were able to know of Afghanistan, except where is this one man? They just couldn't find him, and the war carried on. And the day they wanted to find him, they found him so easily, an old man in one compound. They knew where he was. Some people said, for years we knew he was there. We used to go see him. The doctor said, I used to go visit him. He said, how come you knew? He said, the others also knew. Everyone knew. Everyone knew means they also knew. But as long as they never want to arrest him, kill him, they never do that also. He was a unique man in history. يَسْتَلِحُ النَّاسِ The people will gather on a man. But no thabat of this man. Meaning wherever he will stop, the thing will collapse. Wherever he will establish something, it will not be established. One scholar wrote on that, perhaps there was an indication also to the word Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda means that which is like solid. Like, what's the qaida of this? What's the law? The law means something based on something solid. He said, yeah, there will be no qaida. Meaning no al-qaida. No al-qaida means even that will be a lie. That all the stories about behind this one man, there's a huge jamaat working, operating. Whoever studied it would know that he was running for his life. While running for his life, he had no al-qaida looking after him. He managed to somehow reach Afghanistan. How he reached there, we still can't understand, but he reached there. Then the Taliban were going through some towns and they found him in one jail. Had there been an Al-Qaeda, he wouldn't have been in a jail. They pulled him out, one individual. There was no Al-Qaeda until the World Trade Center got bombed. And then he also learned there's something called Al-Qaeda. And we all learned it. He must have also wondered that I never knew I'm so strong like. At that time they said from one cave in Afghanistan, from one cave they are doing whatever they're doing. Afghanistan, three quarters of their caves got no electricity. So that time there was no one cave could be doing all of these things. He was just locked up a few days ago. They brought him in. So there was a lot of lies in this war of terror. He was a very good man. He was a very good man. And his death was another mystery how he passed away. But it had nothing to do with the amount of lies that they spread. A man for who there will be no sabat. My inclination went towards this man, but others could have other views. It doesn't really affect the narration because we're not worrying about that so much. The main part was the next summa fitnatu duhaima. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then you will see the fitna of Dahma. Duhaima is the tazghir of Dahma. This word Duhmun can come from two words, and this is the miracle of the ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And only in the ending we'll really know what was really intended. It could have been referring to from Duhmun Adham, something like very dark, black, which means smoke, dark smoke. But Duhaima means Tazghir, small dark smoke. So one scholar wrote nicely, he said if you wanted to see small dark smoke, you would have seen it when that aeroplane hit the World Trade Center. You'll see the two dark smoke patches. And when that two patches went up, the whole world went in smoke then. Afghanistan war took place, and then the Syria war took place, and the next Iraqi war took place, and only bombs and bombs and bombs. So some explain the war of terror was fitnatu duhima, which came with, after they will gather on a man who will have no sabat, meaning it will result in the war of terror. And from that war of terror, the whole world changed after that. You might not understand how the world changed. But if you read Tariq, you will understand there were few major changes in the world. One was with World War. World War brought an entire new world. Only those who were there before World War would have understood Khilafat, Darul Islam. After World War today, you tell a person Darul Islam, you say, what's that? You say the Khalif, you say, what's the Khalif? You say the Sultan, you say, what's the Sultan? You say one country makes an announcement. You wonder how do you have one country? Every country has one ruler. So it was all one. The person can't understand. When the war of terror came, an entire new law came for the whole world. Who was there before 9/11? They would have understood. There was a lot of things which today you can't even have. The whole world changed. Laws changed. How people united, meaning different Western countries, against the Muslim world. How the word terrorist came up. How laws were made to make sure that no terrorist is ever allowed. So some looked at that fitnatu duhaima from the word duhmun. That's possible. Thumma fitnatu duhaima. Then the fitna of duhum, duhaima. And the wording that explained it is that when it will stand, لا يبقى أحد من هذه الأمة إلا لتمته لتمة. There will not be a single person from this ummah. Means it has to be such a fitna that affects everyone. So من هذه الأمة can mean from the Muslim ummah. Normally the word ummah will refer to that. All the Muslims. If you want to find something that affected all the Muslims, this was one. There will not be a man from this ummah illa latamathu latma, except that this fitna will smack him in the face. So those who explained it to me, 9/11 and the beginning of the war of terror, that also you'll understand only if you lived in it and you lived through it, that in every country, Muslims at that time was disgraced. It was very hard to be a Muslim, practicing Muslim. Everyone looked at you, no matter who you were a terrorist. On the other side, those people who spoke later on, they said how famous Islam came because of 9/11. It was never like that before. Because everyone learned about Muslims. Nobody knew Muslim before. But now every news channel, every newspaper, and it wasn't going to end. Whenever we thought it was getting like dead, another bomb would hit. Britain would have one bomb, and again the whole thing will start. So the wording goes, every time it is said, كُلَّمَا قِيلَ إِن قَدَّتْ, whenever it will be said, I think it's finished now, تَمَادَتْ, again it will start again. Again it will start, it will just like. So that's one possibility. Another possibility of the summa fitnatu duhaima, which I am inclined to, but only at the ending we will know it. If you take it from the word duhaim, and scholars have mentioned it could come from the word duhaim. So duhaim was on camel. And on this camel, 10 sons went with this one camel to the battle. Meaning the whole army went, the group. But this duhaim was the camel for this 10 brothers. And on the journey, each brother took a chance riding it. So he rode and he rode and he rode. It was their camel for this family, duhaim. And he went with his party in the battle. So they lost that battle. And all 10 of them died. So the enemy, as a disgrace to the family back, they took all 10 bodies and they put it on duhaim. And they turned duhaim, and then they, like how they say, send, go back to your. So as duhaim entered his village or his tribe, then it was the coming of duhaim with an entire dead family. Duhaim. So from there it became a mathal of any major fitna that takes away the lives of Lord people in one family. You see, this is like a dahma, like duhaim. That whole caravan came and the whole family went. So if you take it from duhaim, but as I told you, only time will tell, then you will call it COVID. A fitna which will take away lives of an entire family. لا يبقى أحد من هذه الأمة. No one in this ummah will remain, except it will smack his face. So how it smacked everyone's face? One is, it made everyone cover their faces. So you will understand that, but normally in the Arabic language, a smack on the face means like disgrace. And normally disgrace is, in many languages and in the Arabic language, I'll make your face black. And when this fitna came out, then although many masks came out, but the black mask also came out. Like. So the man had to cover, whether it's with a black mask or any other mask. Normally the word is cover your face in shame. Cover your face in shame. So this was one fitna that smacked everyone. Latamathu latma. Smacked everyone. Only time will tell now. This is a very unique fitna. Like, they knew when it's going to start. So from long time they had written when it's going to start. They even say we know when it's going to end also. So they say 2025 COVID will come to an end. Although like they spoke with the virus, you got the contract so many days, so many years. By 2025 you out. Do whatever you have to do. This is a very unique virus. It goes where it has to go. It stops when it needs to stop. It will start again in December, they say. So it knows now, go for holiday, come back in December. You can't work this out. No one can work this thing out. This is a thing that goes with the dates. That I'm now visiting that country. Then it will be that country. Then I'll come here. During the looting time, it was told, hold on back. There's a lot of other problems. So it helps. Otherwise, they're supposed to go on the highest, like that town. Their hospital is supposed to say, we don't know, we can't cope, everything is. Just hold on, you don't. Just hold on, you held on. Unique virus this is. Latamathu latma, disgraced everyone. In lot aspects, it disgraced. Kullama qila in qaddat, whenever it will be said, it's coming to an end now. This is finished. It's reached its. So this word tamaddat, this word tamaddat, again this is beauty of Arabic, it can come from two words. You can read tamaddat with the mad, tamaddat meaning dal got a tashdeed. Then mad meaning it will prolong. Now you say make mad, pull. Every time you say it's coming to an end, it will just pull. Meaning I thought it's going to end now. And then suddenly it just pulled. Or from mada. Tamad, that means balaghat al mada. Mada means the intiha. Every time you say it's dying now, it's coming to an end, it peaks again. So that word peak, when I looked at that peak, what I liked it. That how they got that word peak. We reach the peak again. They finish now. Again, it's going to a peak. So every time you see that peak, then say tamad, that going for your peak. But we will never know, but unique is the ahadith, but like, how indications were made, how words were used, how scholars explained. Mada, it will reach its peak, tamad, that. يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. So that was the purpose of this hadith mentioning. All the other parts was like just possible, possible, possible. But everyone knows the seer that the era of the Mahdi has to come one day. And me and you are not like the Shi'i who put the Mahdi in the cave and you told him you carry on waiting here for 1,000 years. And he's still waiting there, poor Imam. When we speak about the era is not far, it means that it's not far. It has to happen now, soon. There's going to be no Imam who's going to wait another 10, 20,000 years, meaning it's something that I myself don't believe. The Shi'is never believed it. That is why for them it was easy, Ghaib Imam. You just stay in the cave until we're ready for you. Our people think like that. That the Mahdi will remain staying in cave until I get ready. That's not going to happen. The day Allah wants him to come, he is going to come. On that day, am I going to be ready or not? The Shi'i, he got nothing to worry about. He knows his Imam is not coming. He always says, the day we got so many 313 good men, then he'll come. So they'll never have 313 good men. They know he's never going to come, so they relaxed. The sad part was the people of Iman also became relaxed. As the years went. For our people, it has become like a dream. If ever you mention the word Mahdi, the first thing will be said, no, not in my era. My great-grandson, your great-grandfather said same thing about you. So that Mahdi must never come. Everyone's great-grandson will see him. So no one prepares. No one prepares. And if someone even says that, are you ready, like, if he has to come out? So he said, no, it can't happen now. There's still a lot to happen. So how much lot to happen? I can't see lot. But even if a person thinks there's lot, the demand of Iman is you prepare. Because even if he doesn't come, a believer is one who always prepares for something good. And this is good for the entire Ummah. He prepares for something that he was told in the ahadith might happen in your life. That's why he was told. That you have to be ready for it can happen tomorrow. But here the wording of the narration wasn't about the Mahdi, which means it will reach the Mahdi, obviously. But يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا. When this era comes, you will find that time in which irtidad will become like a game. Riddat يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا. In the morning, believer, and in the night, gone. وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. So as we mentioning, like, perhaps even it's COVID, and COVID will reach its end, perhaps in 2025, like how they say. And everyone is waiting for that. I'm tired of COVID. My business is suffering. I can't travel. I can't go for Umrah. Then suddenly you hear the World Bank said, we also made intizam like till 2025. Meaning like we know 2025, we got a contract with it. So everyone now waits, okay, I'll just make sabr. Meaning there'll be another one, then there'll be more vaccines coming out. They say we almost got it under control, few more laws. Then again something will happen, say few more laws. But by 2025, then enough laws will be in place. That COVID will, let's say, I can't now survive anymore. So many vaccines, so many laws. So many of us will be then waiting like, so nice. Finally it's finished. And then if this narration is referring to perhaps COVID, then when everyone is just so happy that it's finally over, the narration is saying that's when be ready for open irtidat. يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. Open irtidat. So everyone then has to start immediately from now making dua, not for the end of COVID only, but Allah to give us afiyat in our dunya and our deen. Because it mustn't happen the afiyat of dunya comes and the deen collapses. At the moment everyone is just worried about when he's going to finish this fitna. But this fitna might just lead into a bigger fitna. But when people don't see their deen getting attacked, they see their dunya, they just say, no problem, whatever law you want to make, just make it. As long as get me out of this problem. But if this problem takes us into a major deeni problem, we'll all be crying. So the purpose of these narrations was that if you see an indication in the wording towards perhaps what you're living in, and then you see an indication to difficult times, a believer doesn't get scared of difficult times, but he goes in what is called preparation mood. His mind changes. He comes out of that relaxed state. He starts seeing what will cause open irtidad. For me to save myself and my family, at that time, if I am here, will I manage to save? Will I be more protected in a Muslim country or in a non-Muslim country? In which environment will I be more protected? I will find towns which are coming up, which are called safe towns and safe cities. But in the safe city, there will be a lot of laws. There will be regulations. Can you have a masjid? Can you have a maktab? Can you have a madrasa? But it's safe. The city is safe. We're moving into the top elite area. How far are you from the masjid? Say there's no masjid allowed in the area, but the masjid is just outside. Just outside. How long it takes you to get outside? He says in this area you can't drive more than 20, 30. And there's a lot of cameras. So even if I leave Adhan time, I think I'm going to miss my namaz. So then immediately you tell someone, you know what, in our garage can we make jamaat? And suddenly jamaat starts. The child wants to go madrasa, but the area doesn't allow a madrasa. It's called religion free. Meaning be fair for all. Christians must have no church here, Muslims must have no masjid outside. But no one will ever go outside. Already it started. But if this is just the beginning, it means it hasn't ended. It's going to get huge. But when an individual is living in a safe city, everything is safe except your iman. In that safe city, the man will say, I went there. Unique it is, my garage can stay open whole day. No one will ever steal anything because every man who lives there is more rich than the next man. What is going to steal your one thing for? So rich. And no one will make salam or the other because no one wants to know the other in safe cities. Everyone is worried if he knows who I am, then they'll kidnap me. So no one wants to know his neighbor, so no one must know I also live here. Safe city. But in safe city, there's nothing safe about iman. There'll be no maktabs, there'll be no masjids. And a man has to say now, well, I manage in a non-Muslim country. If I have to think of about a Muslim country, which Muslim country? So the mind has to already start preparing. That it must not happen I land up in the era of irtidad. And at that time I say, I never prepared for such an era. I actually went into it. I went into it. And then the narration ended then. حَتَّى يَصِيرَ النَّاسُ إِلَىٰ فُسْطَاتَيْنِ. And then the people will divide into two camps. فُسْطَاتُ إِيمَانٍ لَا نِفَاقَ فِيهِ. There will be the camp of iman in which there will be no hypocrisy. We all got hypocrisy in us. That camp has to be such a unique camp of iman. Such a unique camp. Lot of sacrifice. And then there will be the camp of nifaq in which there will be no iman. Meaning then will come the time that you can't just be like, I'm okay. It's either you unique or you nothing. فَإِذَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ when you will find this فَانْتَظِرُ الدَّجَّالِ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ أَوْ مِنْ غَدِي. Then when this will come, then now just wait. Dajjal either that period or the period immediately after. That day or the next means that period. And periods got different time spans. But as we go closer, the time period spans become less and less. So that period or the period immediately after. And that will be an even bigger fitna than the ones before it. So if this was so hard, then expect harder, and then even harder, camps of Iman or Nifaq, and then even harder, the fitan of Dajjal, open fitan, which we will explain if we have time in the future. This narration was mentioned to say that so unique the wording is, but it should make us awake that perhaps we are heading towards what is known as the fitna of irtidad. About the Mahdi and the Dajjal, that we're not even discussing at the moment. Perhaps that will come, the camps of Nifaq and Iman will come. At the moment I'm just saying, think about this period. That after fitnatul duhayma, if it is this COVID, then that era of irtidad which already started in many countries, and it started amongst our people now, where in universities, in the past, they never made so much of effort on our youngsters, like what they are making now. So much of effort is made that the child, before, even if he had a murtad mind, he was shy to say it. Now he's no longer shy to say. That I do not believe many of these things. I don't feel it's fair. I can't accept certain verses. And as the days go and new laws are made, and you're going to hear much more from men and from women and from those who call themselves on both. You will hear a lot. During that time, who knows whose Iman will be protected. Never ever think, I'll be okay. The purpose of the ahadith was worry also of yourself. May Allah tabarak ta'ala protect us all from all fitan. May Allah tabarak ta'ala bless us with an ability to prepare from before the fitan. And to grant us the ability to die in his path, fighting for his deen, not to die turning away from his deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.